Welcome back to The Word for Life. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in this week for Pastor Greg Huffman. And we've been studying James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 together, the power and the nature of the tongue, the tattletale of the heart. And that's exactly what your tongue is. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what that means? It means that your tongue will reveal who you truly are. That is a harsh reality for us this morning. As maybe yesterday you got upset with your children and got angry with them, or you argued and fought with your spouse, or you got into it with a coworker, that what comes out of our mouth actually is something that is rooted in our heart. I want us to think about that this morning as we continue to look at James chapter 3 and the power and the nature of the tongue. James has been describing the tongue, that it has the power to direct, guide, just like a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on a tall, large ship. It has the ability to destroy, as it's been defined, as a fire, a world of iniquity. It's full of deadly poison. It's an unruly evil. But it also has the ability to deceive. And that's a hard one for us, because here we are, every week we go to church, every week we try to worship God. We're supposed to worship God every day, every moment of our lives, the way that we live. How is it that with our mouths, the same mouths that we praise God, we take a step back and with that same mouth we curse man who is made in God's image, just because we don't agree with their opinion, or just because we don't like their idea, or share their same thoughts? We go all out in attack mode against another brother or sister in Christ. You know, that happens too often in the church. James is making this point in verse 9. He says, with it, talking about our mouths, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Do you see the hypocrisy in that statement? How is it that we can, out of our mouths, praise God and then curse what God has made in His image? What James's overall point is when it comes to our speech is that your words do matter all the time. Whether in secret or in public, whether you are a teacher or you are a student, whether you are a pastor or just a church goer, your words matter all the time, and your words are powerful. Look at how James sums this up in verse 10. So he starts in verse 1, addresses teachers, says that not everybody should desire the position of a teacher because there's stricter judgment. Not all of you have been called. Some of them wanted to be teachers out of wrong motives. But then in verse 2, he says, we all stumble. And it's obvious, it's evident to us, we all stumble with our speech. He then goes on and describes the tongue, its nature, its power. It can direct, it can destroy, it can deceive. And then he talks about the hypocrisy of the way that we talk, how we bless God and curse God out of the same mouth. And then in verse 10, he brings it all to a conclusion. He says, my brothers, these things ought not be so. You are a Christian. You are a follower of Christ. God is shaping you. He's molding you. He's transforming you into the image of His dear Son. This kind of speech should not be coming from you. So what's the solution? Look at verse 11 and 12. Does not a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. James uses the tongue to reveal the root cause of human behavior. Our tongues say what our heart thinks. Your tongue is the faucet of your heart. Your tongue is not the problem. Your heart is the problem. I can just see you sitting there all week long, listening to this podcast, listening to this recording, and thinking to yourself and saying, man, how can I change my speech? How can I do this? How can I do this? Well, the problem is your focus is on your speech when your focus should be on your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your tongue isn't the problem. Your heart is the problem. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It means that the greatest good and the greatest harm are in the power of your tongue. And if this is true, what is the solution? If there is that much power in the tongue, if out of my mouth comes from what is rooted in my heart, what is the solution? Well, in verse 8, it says, no man can tame the tongue. So the solution can't be if I can just gain control of my tongue. We know that you can't. No man can tame the tongue. But since your tongue is simply revealing what is in your heart, the solution is found in Psalm 51. As David said this, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Do you see where he went as David committed such great trespasses against God? You know what his prayer was? Lord, create in me a clean heart. It starts with your heart. It's the same message that God gave to Israel through Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 through 32, he says, repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Do you see what God's message to Israel was right there? Get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Where does that come from? It comes from God. His Holy Spirit and our submission to His Holy Spirit, His work in our lives is what allows us to change our speech. And this is James's point. He says this, change me, Lord, and then my tongue will follow. That's the whole point of James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. He begins with a warning. In the middle, he describes the power and nature of the tongue. In the end, he says, we should not speak this way, but he doesn't leave us without a solution. Our tongue speaks what is rooted in our heart. If that is the case, our heart is the problem. So, Lord, if you change my heart, my tongue will follow. And as I grow in my relationship with God and yield to the Spirit's control, my speech will change. That's how you begin to transform in the image of His dear Son when it comes to your speech. Submission to the Spirit. Walking with the Lord. Allowing Him to change your heart. Allow Him to change your motives. Allow Him to transform you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. If you want to change the way that you speak, it's not about controlling your tongue, because you can't. What James is saying, what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is this. God is the one that's transforming you. He is the one that's changing you. And as you allow Him to work in your life through the Word of God, through the teaching, through the preaching, through the discipleship of somebody coming alongside who points you to Christ, through all these influences, through His Spirit, He is transforming you into the image of His Son. And if He continues to transform you as He said He will do, you will begin to speak the way that Jesus spoke. Isn't it amazing when you look back through the Gospels of how Jesus responded and talked with people? Who were the ones who were upset at Him sitting, eating with sinners, talking with sinners, ministering to sinners? It was the religious crowd. Doesn't that strike you as odd that they got so upset and so mad that they tried to pin him in a corner to prove that he was doing something wrong. That was the religious crowd. But how does Jesus respond to them? At times he was firm. At times he was gentle. But he was always truthful. Because when we speak truth, we speak love. That's powerful. Jesus is an amazing model of that in the New Testament. When people were putting him on a cross, nailing a crown of thorns in his head, beating him with rods, spitting on him, mocking him. You know what the scripture tells us he did? It says this, he spoke not a word. You know, when people are wronging us and when we are on the wrong end of a situation and we feel like we're being abused and we feel like we're being taken advantage of or we're being mocked or we're being gossiped about, you know, it's easy for us to want to take vengeance. It's easy for us to want to speak evil of those people. It's easy for us to want to respond and react. However, how did Jesus handle it when he was in that position? He spoke not a word. What a great study that would be if you struggle with your speech to just read the life of Christ and to see how he spoke with a woman at the well who had many husbands who was doing a lot of ungodly things. He didn't tear her down. He didn't rip her apart. He didn't ignore her. In fact, he was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. They were actually enemies, but yet he loved her. This is an area that a lot of us struggle with. But James's point to us who struggle with our speech is not to focus on your tongue, but to focus on your heart. So my prayer and your prayer should be this, Psalm 51, Lord, as I struggle with my speech, whether I've been abusive, whether I've been disrespectful, whether I am angry all the time, Lord, will you change and create in me a clean heart? Allow your spirit to govern the words that I say. Lord, change me. That's a powerful message for us today. I hope you enjoyed this study through James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, as we looked at the tongue, the tattletale of the heart. And know this, that change is possible, but it only comes through the Holy Spirit and submitting to it. So I pray that you this week would move forward in a positive manner, knowing that you can overcome sinful speech. Until next time, God bless you.